Even though as Christians we would not agree with the lifestyle of people who have been caught up in show business and in the world of rock and roll and all of these things, and the living lives that would not be acceptable to us. And even though we don't agree with the way we live, surely our heart goes out to their families when we hear of them harming themselves and in some way or another, through trying to find something new, they come to harm. You see, really, the problem is that so often with worldly attainment, high worldly attainment, sometimes that attainment is come across through less than honourable behaviour. But nonetheless, through sometimes the worldly attainment may come to men and women, the anticipation that has been associated with the goal, it's gone. And there's an anti-climax. And all of the sacrificing and all of the pressing towards that ambition and to realizing it, it seems to mean nothing. And men and women come to that point where they can go no further. That is why we try to reach men and women for the Lord. Because the Christian never comes in this life to that point where there's no room for going on with God. I would like you to remember that as you listen this morning, Christian. The Apostle Paul was a man who, as far as I can see, did go on greatly with the Lord. Sometimes he hinted at the fact that he was a mature Christian. And he was that. And yet he wanted to be continually advancing with the Lord. In other words, there was, even with the Apostle Paul, room for improvement. Someone has rightly said that room for improvement is the biggest room in the world. And I would like us this morning as Christians all to remember this. That however long we have been in the Christian pathway, however far we may feel that we have gone on with the Lord, there is room yet for going on. Do not get to the point where you despair and think, well, I cannot go on any further really with the Lord. The Apostle Paul, again, was a man who had seen great things accomplished. He had known experiences with the Lord that many another man never knows. And yet when we find him here writing to the church at Philippi, you see in the verses that we're drawing your attention to this morning, there is that aim for higher ground. And that is the title of my message this morning, aiming for higher ground. So what was Paul's secret of going on with the Lord? The first thing I want to draw your attention to is this. The Christian must always remember that in this life, we never come to that point where we feel we have arrived. You have heard it said, perhaps, of someone who has made the headlines for some reason or another. I mentioned a couple of areas, music or film stars, and there are many other areas too. And they have made the headlines. And those people, they soon discover, very many of them, that really they've got to that point where there's nothing else for them in that industry. The Christian can never say that. We can never say in this life that we have arrived. Paul here was a giant among men. He was fearless when it came to presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was very zealous on a human level. He was very intellectual. And he had great wisdom, which of course was given from the Lord as well. But brethren and sisters, he was not a man who ever thought that he had arrived. For in verse 12, in the middle of the verse, it says, "But I follow after." Most people probably, when they looked at his life, would have thought, well, if I could only get to where he is, then I could content myself. Well, he did not content himself. You see where it says there after that? It says, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehend there is a translation of a word that means to really grasp hold of something and to not let go. Now that's what Christ has done with you if you're a Christian. You're not saved today. You're still out of Christ without a Savior. But if you are a believer this morning, Christ has laid hold of you. And he's laid hold of you that you may be saved eternally, that is true, but that through your life and through my life, we may be made more and more conformable unto his image. Now you can sense in this statement something which Paul brought to your attention quite often. You can say he was dissatisfied with himself. He was dissatisfied with himself. Do you ever feel like that, Christian? Weren't satisfied at all with your own efforts. I'm not saying this morning that you beat yourself up. A fellow said to me one time, it was nothing to do with this country, so it takes it away from here, but he said to me, he said, you know, sometimes I had to listen to far too many beat yourself up sermons. And I can understand exactly what he said, exactly what he meant. You know, that you're just a complete failure. Well, that's not what we're saying. The Apostle Paul was a man who knew great joy. But he was a man who was dissatisfied because he always remembered that he had not arrived. In his endeavor to encourage the people here and encourage people in other places, he did not paint a rosy picture for them. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." The word pressed there means to be weighed down greatly. You know what that is, Christian, when you're trying to do something for the Lord? And for some reason, maybe a different reason for you than for the rest of us, you have felt that you've been weighed down greatly and you've begun to despair. It is at that very time where you can feel, I can't go on any further with the Lord. This is really as far as I go. Well, the Apostle Paul was just reminding people here at Corinth of the reality of serving the Lord. But there, if you were to turn back to your Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, in chapter 21, says there concerning the children of Israel, verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You see, your soul can become discouraged because of the way. The word discouraged there means shortened. Now, could it mean that their patience was shortened? Maybe their temper was shortened. Maybe their ambition for the Lord was shortened. However, they were discouraged because of the way. And this was something that through the Bible you find time and time again, brethren and sisters, men and women of God coming to that point where they think, well, I really have gone as far as I can in serving the Lord. I can't go on anymore. Well, that's a very dangerous situation to come to, because if I can use the illustration this morning, if I were to drive a car up McGabbery Hill and three quarter ways up just knock her out of gear, what would happen? She'd go back. She'd go back again. I well remember one man, he's gone to be with the Lord a good number of years now in a prayer meeting in Dungannon. He would often have prayed, "Lord, there's no standing still in the Christian life. Where they're going on with the Lord," words to that effect he used, "where they're going on with the Lord or we're going back." Just like the car would roll back down the hill. So there really needs to be that pressing on with the Lord. If you look there, I'll read it for you. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the verse 28. You know the context here, where Joshua and Caleb have brought the good report and the other spies, they just didn't want to go any further. It says in verse 28, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." That is, they were giants. Of course there were difficulties. But Caleb and Joshua were keen to press on. Brethren, they wanted to aim for higher ground. They wanted to go on in spite of the difficulties. And if you want to just find a difficulty to stop you going on with God, you'll not take too long in thinking of one. You'll not have to search too far. Ways that we go when we're serving the Lord can seem a cul-de-sac. There may be those times when you really have to cast yourself upon the Lord and say, "Lord, you've led me this way. You need to make a way where there does not seem to be a way." And you know, when there doesn't seem to be a way, your enthusiasm can be affected. And when your enthusiasm is affected, well, we can become like the other spies. Think there's too many giants over there. There's far too many cities. There's big walls, and we don't get very far. Why not just content ourselves? Lay back on our laurels, as it were. Well, whenever Paul was writing to this church at Philippi, this was not his wish for them. He wanted them, in spite of everything that could have held them back, he wanted them to press on with the Lord, because in their earthly pilgrimage, they would never come to that point where they had arrived. And folks, we all need to remember that. Every minister needs to remember that. Having studied for 4 years in the Whitfield College and been ordained for almost 12 years now, I'm more conscious of this than ever. That we must be pressing on with the Lord. But I want you to notice something else in this message that we've entitled "Aiming for Higher Ground." Notice here that focus is important. In verse 13, "Brethren, I could not myself have apprehended, but this one thing I do." In Paul's day, as it is in our day, there was very much to distract. And when you become distracted from any task, you lose out. If you have been doing something at home, maybe out in the garage or even in your workplace, and someone has distracted you, it affects what you're doing. Maybe something that requires total focus. You take a person who's an engraver. When you leave, if you win a shield or a cup there and you're getting something engraved on it in the jewelers, that person's engraving, they must be 100% focused. Because if I go in and start telling that man a joke, and he starts to laugh when he's trying to engrave, or if someone else says, "Oh, there's someone breaking into the shop here," all of those things could distract him, and therefore it would affect the way he was doing his work. It's easy to be distracted. The world's full of distractions. You don't have to look very far until you see one. There is, of course, the distraction of problems. Folks, I say this very thankful to the Lord that at the moment we don't have any major problems in Ackley that I know of. I say this, God's work is never without some problems. Some problems in the work in some way. Whether it's getting people to come in, getting people to stay in, getting people to commit, all of these things, and there are so many other things that can be problems, can discourage you. Would you look, please, and I'd like you to look at this in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look what it says, please, in verse 10. And this is a very real danger. God's word is inspired. It's written that you and I might find help for it, from it, when we are despairing. And I do believe that Christians here, you would want to be pressing on with the Lord, and you'd want to be focusing. But look what it says in verse 10 of Ecclesiastes and chapter 7. "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these. For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Many a time I've thought, how come they had revival in 1859 and they experienced it in some degree in the early part of the 20th century, in the days of W.P. Nicholson, and even in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church, there was a great breath of revival. And how come them days were far, far better than these? And these are days just for sitting down and becoming really discouraged and just doing nothing. Just feeling that we don't go on anymore. That's wrong. Even the Bible says here, I've turned you to this passage for a reason, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. In 1859, God had his men and women there. In the 1920s, God had his men and women. In the 1950s and 60s, God had his men and women for that situation. But do you know in 2012, God has you here for this situation? We often think of people being raised up for such a time as this. That's true. You're raised up for such a time as this. It's as hard as it's ever been in my lifetime. Harder. In God's work, to see the work advance and to see men and women one to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look at this verse, I think that while we appreciate revival, we pray for it, we look for that day, it would be totally wrong to go through your life thinking, I didn't really have any purpose because I missed out on revival. It was always hard. Well, God raised you up for such a time as this. God raised you up for these days. And we need to stay focused upon what the Lord has given us to do. Another wee thing I just want to mention is this, that being active in God's work is important, and trying to do something if the Lord opens up a door for you. But we need to be careful as well when we're active, because we're going to get just now to the real heart of our service for the Lord. In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, we have the situation with Martha and her sister Mary. And it says in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Could I say that there was absolutely nothing wrong with her ambition? She wanted to do what she could. And that was good. There's no room for criticism as far as that is concerned. And she comes to the Lord and she says, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Maybe you felt like that too. Sometimes, why is there nobody with me? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now that word troubled is only used here in the New Testament. It means to be in a tumult of mind. In other words, she'd got herself into a great state. Why did it happen? She was busy. She's doing what she could. She was anxious that everything would be done, but verse 42 shows us, it says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part which shall not be taken away from her. What part did Mary choose? Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was at the feet of Christ. And brethren and sisters, while activity in God's work is important for us, we need to be very, very careful that we do not lose out on heart communion with the Lord. And that we're so taken up with the work, so many things to do, that we really don't have time to spend personal time with the Lord himself. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus was teaching Martha here. He told her she was cumbered about with much doing. He said, you're careful and troubled in a tumult about many things. It's easy to get like that in God's work. Get into a state over the state of things. But the one thing that was needful was that Mary was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at Mary at the feet of Christ, you will see that she always benefited there. Sometimes she was praying. Sometimes she was listening. But she was found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we live in a day when there are many things to take your attention of God's work. I'm not saying you don't focus upon your family, on your business, on your work. Even if you're going on your holidays, nothing wrong with that. Spoke to a person once who didn't believe that Sunday school, not in this country, but didn't believe that Sunday school should stop for the summertime. Said the Lord didn't take any break. Well, I think from a break, everyone benefits. And you have to be sensible as well. But it does not mean that we lose our focus. Focus was very important as far as Paul was concerned when he was speaking to this church at Philippi. But notice something else here whenever Paul spoke to these. Not only did they need to focus here, he tried to encourage them by showing them that they could look forward. Look what it says at the end of verse 13. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. How's the past? Would you like to tell me all about your past? Well, I wouldn't want to know all about your past. Because the past can be a prison house, something that's forever hanging over us. Skeleton in the cupboard, some people calls it. Raising up now and again to haunt us. But you read Jeremiah 31, where the Lord has forgotten your sin. Doesn't mean that the Lord is not able to remember it, but as far as being against you is concerned, the Lord doesn't remember it anymore. You see, the word where it says here, forgetting those things which are behind, the word forget that's translated here does not mean failure to remember, but it carries the meaning of not being controlled by the past. It is sad when you speak to someone and the past has been such, yes, they're a Christian, but the past has been such that it's a leash. It holds them back from pressing on for that higher ground with the Lord. You'll see Paul, and if you look at it very carefully, we've mentioned it in verse 12. He uses the illustration of the runner there, verse 12, and following after. It means to pursue. Surely it ties in with the reaching forth. The reaching forth here carrying the thought of every muscle being strained. An athlete, if he wants to do well, he must be at his very best. So it is. You see boys, and they're really fit as footballers. Certainly compared to the like of me, they'd be extremely fit. But a weak hold can change everything. And that can make all the difference from being 100% and not being 100%. And you hear them talking about such and such a person may not be fit for such and such a match, or so and so is hoping to be fit. What are they really saying? They're saying that these men need to be at their best, top of their game, if they want to be part and parcel of the forthcoming game. And Paul here is saying, when he says there's that reaching forth, you're to strain every muscle and nerve, and you're to hold back nothing if you want to gain that higher ground and to go forward with the Lord. But he's saying to them here, listen, we can look forward. Irrespective of what the past had been, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking, well, I did very well the other week. A preacher could fall into that trap and say, well, I preached a great sermon this morning. The people really enjoyed it. It was great. I just drift through next week. Achievements are okay when you achieve them, but after that, that's all they are. Achievements in the past. And it would be wrong to reflect upon the past and think, well, I did some great service for the Lord, did what I could. I had great times of personal fellowship with the Lord and praying. I was greatly involved in evangelism and whatever area we're in. And you begin to dwell upon it. And if we're not very careful, we can engender pride. Pride wouldn't have us go anywhere. Pride would have us to just sit up and think, well, I used to do this. What about an up-to-date blessing? That's what we're after. That's what the Apostle Paul was always after. He spoke concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Again, many, many people would say, boy, he knows the Lord. And the Lord's really working through that man. But he wanted a fresh, up-to-date blessing all the time. He encouraged the people to look forward. There was the danger of them looking back and thinking, well, I did quite well. But there's also the danger of them looking back upon failure and think, well, I only had limited success. The only man that was ever completely successful was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul and his contemporaries, many of them were greatly used of the Lord, but all of them had limited success. That's because they're men, sinners, saved by grace. And dear friend, this morning we want to say to you, do not let limited success, or even in something that you've tried for the Lord and it has seemed to you to be a complete failure, don't let that failure breed pessimism. Because pessimism is something which is very unhealthy because it creates a cycle of despair in your mind. You do nothing for the Lord. There will be no desiring for higher ground. You think, well, I've got this far, I've done this, and I asked the Lord to lead me on, and showed me something else to do, I did it, but this is where I draw the line, I'm not going any further, because I'll fail. Well, how do you know you'll fail? Until you step out and follow after the Lord. Sometimes when we are struggling with the will of the Lord, and we are looking for something that is clear, we must always understand that the actual situation that we're in at that present time very often is the will of God. You're looking to the Lord to guide in a certain direction or to guide in a different direction, and in between knowing anything definite, you're in a certain situation. Well, that is the will of the Lord for you at that time. And if we can just content ourselves to look to Him continually and to think, well, Lord, this is your will for now. For now. And forget about the failures. And I say this in the right sense, forget about the successes. And let's focus upon the Lord's work now, remembering that as the Apostle Paul mentioned to these people here, there is the possibility of reaching forth, going on, higher ground. Very possible for a Christian to look at other believers and think, well, if I only was as successful a Christian as them. How do you judge that? Because they're smiling? Because they have seem to have a great acceptance generally with people, and you feel you're a shy or quiet person? The Lord is able to use you, and you're able to go forward. Now, notice something else here, which is important as well. We must be active. Look at verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He threw himself heartily into the work. Again, the picture here is of an athlete at full stretch. The word mark, some commentators suggest that the word mark is a marked out course. Well, it may be. But whatever it means, it refers to that pressing forward, to that human effort. And I believe it, as far as Paul was concerned, it referred to blessing now and reward one day in heaven. Again, there's dangers. The danger of thinking, well, everything depends on me. I've got ability. They'll call them gifts. And I'm able to use them. And that is good. I hope you have plenty of them. But remember this. Everything doesn't depend on you. We need to work as though everything depends on us. But we need to pray as though everything depends on God. And the two coming together, relying upon Him, really is balanced Calvinism. It's the same in evangelism. We must have the offer of the gospel to men and women. We must reach out to them. But we must pray, because the Bible shows us that's the way to receive blessing. Or to see men and women won to the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray continually for them and indeed for the work. And folks, as we are laborers together with the Lord, we must always remember that we need to be active. It's always good to be part of an active congregation. A congregation where there's outreach for children and the desire to even increase that. Where there's Sunday school, where there is a church outreach for people who get involved in that. Where there is plenty of meetings. Plenty to do. Plenty of things to do in being active for the Lord. But I want you to notice this. He said here, I press toward the mark. It's personal. The activity is something that needs to be from the heart. That pressing on with the Lord. If you look there just at Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. It says in verse 29, I'll just break into the chapter there. Verse 29 of Colossians 1. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. The thought there, striving, is agonizing. I labour, I strive, I do the very best I can according to His working which worketh in me mightily. God can work in you mightily, whatever age you are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what education you may or may not have. If you're willing to be active for the Lord and to be at your best for Him, then God can work mightily in you. I know it's an old saying, but we'll repeat it anyway. Trust in God and keep your powder dry. You all know the meaning there. You're looking to the Lord, but if you want to fire your gun, powder needs to be dry. In other words, pray very much that God will help you and meet your every need. But on a human level, fulfill our own responsibilities and do what we can for the Lord. We have to remember that the epistle to the church at Philippi is referred to as the epistle of joy. He wanted these people to have the very best and to enjoy the blessing of the Lord the best they could. And that is why he was exhorting them there. They needed to be active. But notice one final thought here. He also shows them that there were dangers in the work. Look at verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. It seems for the Apostle Paul, his life was nearly always fraught with dangers and troubles and problems of one kind or another. But this verse shows us, this verse 10 shows us, how he desired to counter these dangers. He kept his body in subjection that he might not become a castaway. You and I are capable of terrible things. That's why the Lord gives people the commandments, because we're capable of breaking every one of them if we're given the right situation or the wrong situation, whatever way you might want to look on it. More than that, he wanted here to be, and it's emphasized in Luke's Gospel as well, he wanted to know what it was to have that fellowship and part of his sufferings, but he was also scared on a human level. It's good to be looking to the Lord and leaning upon him, because if you don't, you become scared, because the world is so strong. There seems to be so much influence for bad. I intended to download a petition that I've got sent to me, and I should have done it. I'll try and do it for tonight and bring it along. It's for people to sign that it might be sent on to the government, that we strongly believe the biblical teaching on marriage, that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, someone said. And this petition is to be signed, and with as many people as possible signing it and sending it on to the government with the relevant scripture references and so on there, so that at least they'll understand that some people are opposed to everything that's happening. I think I mentioned in the prayer meeting, or maybe it was here, it was in the context of IVF treatment since 2006. Is it 4,000 embryos just been dumped, just like a piece of garbage? That which was not required was just dumped. Human life. Darkness all around us, men and women. That which could greatly discourage you. And yet the Apostle Paul, he was able to press on, and he wanted this congregation to press on in spite of the dangers. I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Free Presbyterian circles, we work under a session, which is the spiritual oversight. Every minister is subject to his session, and every one of them is subject to the minister. They're all subject to each other. And that is the structure. And then, looking after the material things in the church, you have the church committee. But we all must always remember this. We work for God. We work for God. The minister's salary is paid by the church. He works with the session, but he works for God. And you work for God. And Paul, in writing to this church, was able to encourage them to aim for that higher ground. The Lord has answered prayer for us, even in recent times, regarding the mission and so on. But there's so much more to be done. And I trust that the Lord will help you and encourage you to aim for higher ground. Maybe you're a wee bit discouraged these days, I don't know. And I trust that if you are, that the Lord will encourage your heart. And if you will put your shoulder to the wheel, don't be thinking, well, I don't have the ability to do this or the ability to do that. When the Lord opens a door for you and leads you on, he will never lead you where he will not give you the ability you need. Always remember that. I trust that the Lord will help us all as we aim for that higher ground. Our time is gone and we're going to leave it there. Return please to the hymn 301.